when we sing these songs in the context of where God has shifted us in a greater authority to pray for the nation, it opens up tremendously, because now there's a context to praying, "Thy kingdom come." There's a context to be praying, "We speak the name of Jesus over every mind and soul," and so forth, in the reality of a nation, praying for a nation. So just, it's go beyond ourselves. Father, we do want to thank you that you have spoken, and when you speak, it's a yes in Jesus. You have promised and you have shared with us that the answer for our nation is your Son Jesus Christ, and you are beginning to show us and teach us by your Spirit to guide us into the reality of the kingdom of God and the glory of God, what your kingdom's all about and what your glory is all about. And so we want to thank you that we can pray, we can proclaim, we can decree, "Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." And we want to thank you, Jesus, for your name that's a name above every other name, that we can have the incredible privilege being so united with you to be able to pray in your name, to speak in your name, to do in your name. So we thank you as you enable us to know what it is to be one with you, as you work within us and the amazing healing you're doing within each and every one of us, in enabling us to know the reality of your kingdom within us, first of all, and the participation with you in the reality of you reigning through us. And this we receive and ask for clarity. We ask for revelation in the name of your Son Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're looking here in John chapter 17. If you'd like to go back to John 17. As we, during the week, and we pray together, whenever we pray together, it's very, very strong. The Holy Spirit is speaking and showing the incredible truth of the need of revelation when it comes to right now the kingdom of God and the glory of God with the body of Christ, to really know what it means to be able to participate in the reality of being a kingdom and priests, understanding that. There's a real need that we've been praying, and the Holy Spirit has been speaking about a move of the Holy Spirit in bringing about a real true revival, in the sense of beholding the glory of Christ, knowing the reality of Christ in us and what His glory is all about. And so, revelation, revival, all of these things is very much on the Father's heart for us to be able to pray through, to be able to receive, to be able to be involved in one way or the other in the lives of our nation. So with that background there, know that what God is sharing is, it's such a now word for us. It's a, such a now word for our nation. It's such a now word for us to partner with God in it and be involved with God in it. And so that's why you will find the Holy Spirit's really going to be imparting a faith that is a faith that we haven't known before. It's a far greater depth and understanding and experience of this faith that comes from God. And the what I share and what we'll be sharing, it's impossible with man. And our minds may say it's impossible. There's no way it's ever going to happen. It's not going to take place. This faith that God is releasing as His word is being spoken will be a faith that will be able to say all things are possible. And it's going to be so, it's no longer a dream. It's very tangible. You can touch it. It's very real. You can see it. You can see in the spirit realm the manifestation of all of this that's already taking place, and you will begin to understand far more of the spiritual truth of the kingdom and the glory of God. So this is what God is helping us to understand more and more, and that's why we'll take some time sharing revelation, being equipped, being established in what God has got for us to do now. So in the Lord's Prayer, as I shared last Sunday, our first prayer assignment is praying not really for the unbelievers at this time, it's praying for the body of Christ, the family of God within this nation, that's living in this nation. And you'll understand why as we go on. Well, that's so important, because we need to understand the realm in which the king rules. Okay, that's why we need to pray for one another, for revelation of the kingdom. So Jesus, in verse 1, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And so on these few verses at this time, because these few verses is such an important foundation in understanding the rest of John 17, and particularly what the kingdom of God is all about. And so Jesus is laying a deep insight to the reality of the kingdom of God and the glorious kingdom of God. What it is to bring glory to the Father. So, just to recap a little bit from last Sunday, we asked the question, what has the glorification of Jesus got to do with us as the body of Christ? What has the exaltation of Jesus got to do with you and I? And as we were looking at that, it's everything. and we'll see as we go on. Let me just read some scriptures just to recap. We looked at that second, in Philippians chapter 2. What has the glorification when Jesus asked the Father, and he said, Father, glorify me, so that I may glorify you. What has that got to do with us? Well, we see in Philippians 2, when Jesus was exalted and glorified, and I'm going to just read there from verse 9, therefore God exalted him, this is Jesus, after his death and resurrection, he became obedient, very important, to death, even death on the cross, and that's a big thing. You'll see when we speak more about the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of life. And we carry on and we see, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. What has the exaltation of Jesus got to do with us? Well, first of all, he was given a name above every other name. So now you and I can go in the name of Jesus. He's the highest authority that you and I operate under. And it's this authority of Jesus that is so crucial. If Christ was not exalted, we would not have the name above all other names, because sin would still be victorious. Death would still be reigning. So the resurrection, the exaltation, the ascension of Jesus, Pentecost when he was glorified, all of that plays a big role for you and I to understand. If it wasn't for Christ being exalted, we would not be able to, in the name of Jesus, advance the kingdom of God. To heal the sick, to cast the demons out, to set the captives free, to see the work of Satan destroyed and people released from the work of Satan, to see the reign of death be conquered so that death has no longer a sting, and to see the resurrection of life, Jesus, that's in us, to be able to know the hope that we have. If it wasn't for Christ being exalted. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Notice the exaltation of Jesus. Father, glorify me so that I may bring you glory. Here, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All the time you will see the reality of the glorification of Jesus and the glorification of the Father. We the body of Christ. So if we are the body of Christ, that glory of Jesus is now also a reality for you and I as the family, as the body of Christ. And that's what we are learning. So in John chapter 14, again, let's just quickly recap. When Jesus speaks about he's going to the Father, so again, the time has come, glorify me so that I may glorify you. And Jesus has been revealing the Father all the time, making the Father known. And he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Father, glorify me so that I may bring you glory. I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, the name above every other name, the glorification of Jesus Christ, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, and you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. What has the glory of Jesus got to do with you and I today? Well, Jesus has been glorified, we his body, so that Jesus can bring glory to the Father. We his body, so we come in his name, in him, and so that when we ask, Jesus can bring glory to the Father. So when we pray, hallowed be your name, that's what we're praying. Father, here we are. We want our Father to be glorified. So when the disciples were being in the little room over there and they were being persecuted, they prayed, Father, stretch out your hand and perform mighty signs and wonders, and then, so that in the name of your Son, that he's exalted. That's part of the glorification of Jesus Christ in his name. So it's got a lot to do with the miraculous. It's got a lot to do with the fullness and the presence of Almighty God that we're speaking about over here to be glorified. In 2 Corinthians, we looked at that in also last 2 weeks. And so Paul is speaking about the new covenant and the old covenant. And let me just read a few verses of here, verse 3 onwards. Because this is very, very important to understand. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And he carries on here, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You're going to come back to this, but I'm just laying something down here so that the Holy Spirit will bring to our recall. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of His life. Thy kingdom come. What are you saying? God, your abundant life, your manifest life, come. Okay? And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life. Okay? We're going to come back to that. Not today, but we're going to come back to that. Then he carries on and he starts to share something profound over here concerning the ministry. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of his glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? What has the glory of Jesus has to do with you and I? If Christ was not exalted, if Christ was not raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit would not be with us today. It is the Spirit of God that brings about the revelation of the glory of God here on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. So here we see the ministry of the Spirit is far more glorious than the old covenant. Okay, this is the reality of the kingdom of God that we are in. Now, but let's carry on. Now, if the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is a ministry that brings righteousness? And that's going to be such a big key when we go back to Romans chapter 5. Remember what we read over there? Death reigned when Adam and Eve sinned. Death reigned. But now, because of righteousness, life reigns. Powerful. So now this kingdom of God, because of the righteousness of Jesus, guess what reigns? The life of God, the abundant life of God, reigns over death. So when we're praying, Father, your kingdom come, because of what Christ has done, the centrality of Jesus, the answer for our nation, when we come in His name, in the name of Jesus, Father, your kingdom come, we by faith begin to grasp hold of this, the substance, this real life, this abundant life, this God life, becoming a reality on earth as it is in heaven. Must pray for the body of Christ to get a revelation of what the kingdom of God is. When they understand the reality of life in the kingdom, glory in the kingdom, when they understand righteousness in the kingdom, hope in the kingdom, because the kingdom is the fullness of God Himself on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. And the revelation needs to be real because it's the believer needs to have it here. They need to experience the life of the kingdom within. They need to experience the incredible hope of the kingdom, the peace of the kingdom, the righteousness of the kingdom within. Very, very important. Otherwise, they won't know how to pray. That's why we're praying for the body of Christ. First of all, to be able to touch a nation. And so we carry on. But notice what Paul writes over here. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much more greater is the glory of that which lasts? And then he speaks about the boldness, and he says over here, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for it is to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So picture this, in the Old Covenant, the Lord came full of glory. Moses is seeing the glory of God, and the Israelites are looking at the face of Moses, and the glory is fading. Old Covenant. We don't look at the face of Moses. We look at the face of Jesus Christ. His glory is not fading. Big difference. Big, big difference. So now as we as believers, the body of Christ in South Africa, as we begin to realize here, but Lord, when the Spirit of God is Lord, interesting, where we have yielded to the Holy Spirit, where we are not grieving the Holy Spirit, when we are walking in the truth, when we are walking in step with the Holy Spirit is Lord. Because we are surrendered to the Holy Spirit, we're saying, yes, Holy Spirit, that which you're sharing from Jesus, you're making it known. We say yes, and we walk in that reality of what the Spirit of God is saying. When the Spirit is Lord, we are being transformed. Because we're beholding the glory, the glorious minister of the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus, who reveals the Father, and we by the Spirit are being transformed into this incredible likeness of Jesus from one level of glory to another. But where the Spirit is Lord. Can you see why we must pray for the body of Christ? So that the body of Christ in South Africa begins to yield to the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of God is truly Lord, dwelling within them, they yielded to the Spirit of God. They're not grieving the Holy Spirit because of decisions and choices. They're listening to the Holy Spirit. They're keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. They surrendered their lives to the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for this. With man, this is impossible. But God is sharing with us what His will is. And when He's sharing with us His will, we know in the name of Jesus, something mighty is happening as we simply believe and receive and respond. So our prayers is not just praying. He has context. He has heavy stuff here for you and I to take hold of in our prayer life now. To take hold of, Father, this is what we're asking, because we've got a revelation that when we're praying for the reality of your kingdom, it's your Holy Spirit, that's the glorious Spirit of God that brings life to a nation. We need the believers to experience this life of yours, no longer the law of sin and death, but the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. It's real in us. The power of His resurrection life is real within us. We'll get, carry on. As I say, when you pray for a nation and God gives you the authority, it's not light duty stuff. You go deep. You go deep. When you ask for more glory, to increase the glory of God, you go deep. Because now the Holy Spirit is Lord. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by faith. See, that's what it is when you grow in authority for a nation. To have authority, to have weight, to be able to speak with authority of the King. Holy Spirit is Lord. Otherwise we'll pray our own fleshly prayers to make our life comfortable. And it's not about the kingdom at all. Or He's the glory of our Father. It's about making our life comfortable so we don't have to worry about whatever. No. Baby stuff. That's milk. That's for a little baby being born. That just wants the nappy changed. No. Guys, we're going to have to change the nappy of a nation. Because it's full. It needs a glorious new created nappy. They can start to grow and become a mature nation in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we carry on and we see over here And so we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And, oh no, I won't go there, might go there later on. But I think it's just important that we don't look at the face of Moses. We're looking at the face of Christ Jesus. And as we behold him, we are being changed into his likeness by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's move on. Let's go back to John chapter 17. Jesus carries on and he says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. He glorifies the Father through his body, you and I. The word glory, just for, we've spoken about it, but the word glory, often we speak about the weightiness of God, doxa, the weightiness of God. So, when we're speaking about the glory of God, it is the manifestation of God. So, God is not, oh God, there's a weightiness of God's presence in a place. There's a weightiness of God's presence within the believer. Is the weightiness of God within the believer. There's a reality of who God is. This is eternal life, that you may know the only true God. Likewise, that you may know the only true Son of God, Jesus Christ. There's a weightiness of his presence. There's a fullness of his presence within. There's a fullness of his presence within the gathering. So we're speaking about the manifest presence of God Almighty. That's what we're speaking about. So Jesus, all the time, Father, I brought you glory by completing the work that you have given me to do. So Jesus, what did he do? He revealed the Father. So wherever Jesus went, the weightiness of his Father was made known, touching people's lives. People all around, they just knew, who's the Son of God? Who gave this man this authority? Wow, look at this. We want to see him because of the weightiness, the manifestation of the Father within him being made known by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we're asking God for your glory to manifest more, we are asking God the fullness, your weightiness, who you are, to become more real in the believer's life, likewise in the nation's life. Okay, so that's what we're speaking about. So Jesus is making the Father real, and he's doing that. And you and I now, that's part of our incredible ministry. But he says over here, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Remember back in chapter 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I've made the Father known. Just look at all the works I've done just to make the Father known. But guess what, guys? I'm going to the Father. I'm going to be glorified, exalted to, and given the glory I had before I came to this earth. My name's going to be above every other name, the authority and the power, all that. Now I'm sending you to go into this world. And guess what, guys? My Spirit is going to be in you, and my Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is going to reveal to you things, and you're going to come in my name, and you're going to ask me my name, and I'm going to do it, so that now through you, on this earth, my Father can be made known real. And that's why religion is such a strategy of the enemy, to come against the glory of God. Because religion does not manifest who God is. It's Christ who does it in us to make him known. So, that's part of the prayer strategy. If you're here to know how to pray, when you're praying for the glory of God, what it's about. So I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work. You know this prayer in Matthew 6. And Jesus prays the Lord's Prayer, and he says to, this is how you pray in verse 9 and 10. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done as earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus, the King, Jesus is coming and he's saying, Father, your kingdom come. Father, I'm teaching them, I want your will to be done. I want your glory to be made known. So Jesus, all the time, was very conscious. He was very aware of the Father. He did what his Father showed him to do, and he continued to make the Father known on the earth. Okay. Now, what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom of God? I think we all know the basic definition of the kingdom, and that is speaking about God's rule, the king, and the realm in which he rules. So in a nutshell, a kingdom, basically the kingdom of God, the real basic meaning of here, is God doing what he wants to do, doing whatever he wants to do, he's ruling. So we know from a bigger, broader picture, and let me just read you some scriptures so that we can get an understanding of here. Let's go to Colossians 1. We know, and you're going to see why this is so important, we know that God is the ruler of the whole universe. So the realm in which God rules is the whole created order. That we know. Okay? But it comes very specific. So for instance, in Colossians 1 verse 15, concerning Jesus, we read over here, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So we know that when we're speaking, first of all, about the kingdom of God, we know God rules the universe. Everything. So the will of God, he can do what he wants to do. Okay? We know that. We read there in John chapter 1, again, concerning Jesus Christ. But I think it's just to recap. When John writes of it concerning Jesus, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. Okay, in Daniel, remember in Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar is getting disciplined by God? God is the ruler. He is the king of all. And after Nebuchadnezzar comes to his senses, after eating grass like a cattle for a period of time, he then comes to his senses and he says over here, then I praised the Most High. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was the Most High. Because of the revelation of God, now God, you the Most High, are honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. And it carries on about the reign of God. And we can look at Psalm 103 verse 19 at the same thing, where we see there that God reigns over all of creation. Now saying that, Although God reigns over the whole of the universe and he can do what he wants because he's God, he has chosen this planet Earth in the most unique way, where he has said, planet Earth, I've chosen you, I've created man in my own image, so that on this planet Earth, man can be part of the reality of reigning with me. So he creates this earth and he says, I'm going to let my kingdom become a reality on this planet Earth in such a unique way compared to any other planets and even in earth that I've created. And I'm going to have this incredible place where heaven controls earth. So God creates this amazing planet Earth. He creates man and woman. And because it's a reality of his kingdom, because it's a reality where man is able now also to be able to rule and reign on this earth as it is in heaven, so God gives him a mandate. He puts two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat of that, you will die. So because God is the ruler of all things, he puts two trees. So there's a law of the spirit of life and there's a law of sin and death in the garden. Now man's got a free will. So man can choose whether to continue ruling and reigning this kingdom of life, to multiply it and take it out of this garden and just go out and advance it all over the world to see this life of God, what heaven is like on earth, become a reality. Free will. But there has to be another tree to see who are you surrendering to. Because where the Spirit of God is Lord, see, back in the garden, so the devil comes, as we know, tempts, and then they believe what the devil's saying is the truth, and they disobey. So now a new law, before it was the law of life operating, because the life is in Christ Jesus. So you've got this God life operating, they're living, creation's living in the reality of this divine life. Now the fall comes, now the law of sin and death now becomes a reality. So now death reigns all the time. The whole world, Romans chapter 5, the whole world is under this decaying, crying out, groaning for the sons of God to manifest. That's taking place. But then comes Jesus. Life. Then comes Jesus. In him is life. And here comes Jesus now. And he comes into this world and he says to the guys, guys, death used to reign, but now I'm showing you, I'm bringing in the reality of my kingdom here on earth. So where death reigned, now my life will be reigning. So that's what Jesus is now bringing in as he starts to come. So now he's starting to say, listen guys, I want you to pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So that once again, in the body of Christ, through the body of Christ, once again, the kingdom of life can now become a reality on this planet earth, through us as the body of Christ. So now we ask ourselves the question, this realm in which God rules, he's the ruler of all the universe, but now in Christ Jesus, in this particular way, how does he rule? How is God going to rule on this earth? Well, that's why Revelation 5:11. Let me read Revelation 5:11. It is so big. We read over there, or 10, I didn't go verse 9, they're singing to Jesus, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, not because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Can you see why we must pray for the believers? For you and I? Because now the realm in which God rules this earth is through the hearts of the believer, through the lives of the believer. We are a kingdom. Thy kingdom come. We are a kingdom and priests. Now God rules sovereignly all over, but he has chosen in a unique way in his son Jesus, because it's only in Christ that life can once again manifest on this earth where death reigns. It's only now through us as believers who have now got a heart of his life within us that the king can rule and reign and make known the incredible manifestation of his presence, us as believers. So when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it's not just to get the blessings. No. Now we're looking at something very deep. Because now we're saying, God, he has this body, you reign in me. The Spirit is Lord. Jesus, you the King. Now the area in which you reign is in my own life, you reign through me. And so I come and I'm seeking your glory, your will be done. And my life is surrendered to do your will. Just as Jesus says, Father, I've come to do your will. He showed us. You and I have come to that place, Father, we've come to do your will. You've placed us in a nation for a time like this to do your will, so a nation can be born again and come into your kingdom. As I often said, tough being you. Because God loves his nation. And if we remain just cozy little Christians and comfortable and just our own little pleasures and all that there, what an empty life. But when we're involved with the kingdom, when we realize that God, the area that you're going to reign is my own life, in me and through me, I suddenly realize, now I offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, my God, because this is my spiritual worship. Then I will know your good and pleasing will, because it's no longer my good and pleasing will. It's no longer my stuff. Then I will know what's on your heart, and live a life of fulfillment, of abundance, of purpose, of reason. Sold out to you. Ephesians chapter 1, as we close. Again, I don't think we've seen it like this before, but Paul is praying, and he prays, keep asking the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Big. Come back there now. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him. What has the glorification of Jesus got to do with you and I? And seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the ecclesia, the body of Christ, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way, the glory of God. But have you noticed yet that we may have power by God to be able to grasp and to be able to know this glorious inheritance in the saints? Have you ever asked yourself, what is this inheritance? One aspect of this inheritance is what God is sharing with us tonight. The reality that who we are is the realm in which he can govern this earth. What an inheritance that we have. His realm within us for him to rule and to reign. Hey, what an incredible privilege and honor, where Satan rules, where sin rules. Now we as believers, we can say, no. We've died with Christ, we've been raised. God, yes, my body, this inheritance of your realm is in me. Rule through me. Rule through the body of Christ in South Africa. You may ask now, as we try and close, you may ask, what has this got to do with us? Why are we praying for the body of Christ? Can you just for a moment picture this? Just take our town, for instance. Can you imagine for a moment where the believers, the children of God, God, you rule and reign here. Can you imagine a body of Christ? Can you imagine the residents of our town that is sold out in loving one another, that is sold out in loving a nation? Can you imagine coming together and say, how do we build a city with this love of God in us, with the reality of Christ ruling? How do we build industry? How do we build a city? How do we build a town? Can you imagine the glorious presence of God in 1947, where we're seeing the body of Christ not killing one another? Not doing this, but a body of Christ, selfless, loving. Can you imagine people all over coming? Can you imagine the impact it'll have on this nation? What will education look like in our town where believers are so full of love for all, so full of love for God, so full of the reality, God, you rule and reign? How do we build education from this foundation? How do we build industry? How do we build governance? How do we build family? How do we build? I see it. I see the building. I see the glorious, beautiful building of God in this place. I see us, the laborers, the builders, selfless, building with the love of God, touching people, seeing people's potential, seeing the true value of every single person in this community, growing and fulfilling their potential and becoming a vessel of honor unto God. I see that. May God give us a great revelation of what his kingdom and his glory is about. May we move into the depth of that. I see how the Holy Spirit is baptizing us into the very deepness of God. We are being immersed deep, deep, deep into the reality of the depth of God Almighty Himself by the Spirit of God. This is the baptism that we're praying for. This is the baptism that I see close. Not a baptism into something light. It's a baptism deep into our Father, to know Him and to live for Him, to make Him known. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't worry, I've been whacked many times. God is saying, your kingdom, the glory, let me just sort this thing out in your life. Let me sort this thing out in your life. So I also go through the pain of being pruned. But it's vital because God loves the nation. And if God hadn't said to me, the answer for this nation is my son Jesus Christ, it would have been easy to take another route. Let's try man's plan to solve a plan. Let's try his wisdom, man's wisdom to solve. But it's God's way through the believer, reigning through the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit, this anointing of the Holy Spirit, to set captives free and to be able to see hearts changed, hearts open for the reign of God to build a nation. So as we learn to build communities, likewise we're learning how to build a nation. So pray for evangelists. Pray for the laborers that got a deep revelation of kingdom and glory of God. Pray for the fivefold to be able to know how to equip the body to be able to do what needs to be done. Guys, pray. Pray, pray. By faith in the name of Jesus. Knowing that what we are praying in the will of God concerning this nation, Jesus says, I will do it. So that my Father will be glorified in South Africa. I see South Africa. I can see the turnaround. I can see the breakthroughs. I can see all this junk that's taking place right now. Phew. Really? It's nothing. You see the glory of South Africa in Christ Jesus. You see just what God wants to do to other nations through this nation. It's far greater than what we're experiencing now. This is just a little bit of pain, discomfort, compared to the glory that awaits this nation. Why don't you buy into, why don't you sell yourself in a sense for the blood of Jesus that purchased you? Why don't you say, Lord, I'm sold by you. I'm yours. Why don't you say, Lord, for the Father's glory, I'm pressing in to be able to pray for this nation, to be involved in what you are doing with this nation. I lay down my agenda, it's yours, and find such a fulfilled life. Sold out for Him. Maybe I should stop. I just see too much. So that's why I have hope. That's why I've got faith, because I see the glory ahead. So I might join you now and again to moan about the potholes, but in every pothole is glory. Redemption. We will understand what it means where Paul writes that Christ has restored all things back. We'll understand that word, restoration, from the reality of life and death. Where death reigned, it was life. Then there was death, now there's life again. You understand? So, God willing, we'll soon get into the reality of what the kingdom of life is all about, and we will look at, from then onward, there's so much more. Amen. As we have communion, as we have communion this morning, let's be still, and whatever God has spoken, you may want to just bring it to Him, and know, see, this is the manifestation, that you and I may know, God, you are God. You are God in this situation. So let the Spirit move and touch our lives. The angels are here to help minister, bringing us in line with the mandate for the nation. And whatever is causing us to stumble in that there, today is time for that to be sorted out. Grace of God is big. Okay. Father, thank you for a moment where we can just eat together, remembering and celebrating your Son Jesus. That is life. But the joy that, Lord, on your body you took a nation's sin, you took all the issues of the fall concerning our nation and the nations upon your body. Thank you, Lord. That's why there's a resurrection, because in you a nation can rise up in the resurrection of your Son Jesus. So as we have communion, I proclaim over you, South Africa, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our reality. We have been raised with Christ into a new life. So I call forth a new life of South Africa, a new life in Christ Jesus to manifest. And we thank you. Lord, as we look at the power of your blood, oh Lord, your blood for this nation has paid the price for our redemption. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to death and fear of death. We are no longer slaves to Satan and under his control doing his will. No longer. So over you, South Africa, I speak the blood of Jesus, and I declare the redeeming power of the blood, and I declare, South Africa, you are loosed from being slaves to sin, to death. You have been loosed by the blood of Jesus to being under the control of Satan. And we release the powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit through the body of Christ, through us, that you can reign this kingdom of priests. So we call forth the kingdom of priests in South Africa to rise up and to move, so that the reign of God can reign through us as a kingdom of priests in this nation. And we thank you. So Holy Spirit, thank you for your incredible work empowering us. So Father, as we have the communion in Jesus, we can say, now unto you that's able to do measurably more than what we are asked or imagine, according to your great power that's at work in this realm of yours, this kingdom realm of yours, our hearts. From this generation and into the future generations. So that, Father, you are glorified through your Son and in your Son Jesus, and also through us as your body of Christ, your family, you are glorified through our lives as well. So we thank you for your blood, Lord. We thank you today as we can just for a moment eat with you, Lord, celebrating what you have done. Oh God, I ask that you will open up the eyes so that the body of Christ will see the glory ahead. They will see your glory. They will see what you have purposed for this nation and for us as your children in a nation being involved with something so big and powerful, seeing your kingdom becoming real, heaven ruling South Africa. Thank you for that. So Lord, because of you, what you've done, we receive, we eat, we celebrate with tremendous joy and victory in our hearts. Amen. Amen.